Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 93 of the car wash. On today's show, Rulani to leave Sundowns, the game we've all been waiting for, and we review the MTN 8 final. Whether you are tuning in on SL podcast at Zero Today, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Machi Ken 96.7 Game Time, welcome to the show. And of course, I'm your host, Sean Roberts. And of course, I'm not alone. Please welcome my good friend, Mr. Supersport himself, Teko Modise. Tex, what's happening?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks, bro.
I was delayed, but I'm on time right now.
Are you fine now?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. You're off your social media and you can concentrate.
No. I've been off for a couple of weeks now.
Okay. You have been quiet, bro. What's the story?
No. Dude, I've got too much going on. So sometimes you need to slow down a bit.
Okay. So it's good problems.
Yeah, no, it's good problems. Besides, social media is not a real place. I don't think.
It is for a lot of people though, but
yeah, sadly. No, for me it's not a real place. My world functions better without it.
Absolutely, yeah. Same as alcohol.
True that.
Yeah. So speaking of alcohol, how many Mexicans does it take to change a light bulb? Just Juan.
Okay.
Oh man, it just gets better and better, doesn't it? Teko, let's chat about, well, obviously reactions. Let's start off with Stellies and Kaiser Chiefs. Shock results, I would say. I think Steve Barker got everything right in the game for his Stellenbosch team. I think Kaiser Chiefs we saw glimpses of the Dolly Billiard combination defensively. Again, questions have to be asked. Not much happening in the midfield. Where did it go wrong for Chiefs? Or maybe I should say, where did it go right for Stellies? I mean, don't forget about that cracker of a goal, number one from Ashley Dupree. That's got to be one of the goals of the season already, if not the goal of the season. Your opinion, Tex, what went right for Stellies? What went wrong for Chiefs? Where did it,
I think, Sean, I saw only the second half of the game. I didn't see much, especially the first half. But looking at how both teams have been performing, I think for me personally, but it's not a shock result.
Right.
To be fair, I think Stellies are better, more organized, they're playing better. And they are one of the on-form teams. They haven't lost a game in the league. So to win against Kaiser Chiefs, to me, it's not a surprise victory.
Away from home.
Yeah. Look, dude, when things go your way, you know, they will.
Yeah.
And especially with how Stellies have been performing this season, I mean, it's been remarkable. This is a team that was fighting relegation last season. And to be where they are today on the log and to have such big results, for me, it's a progress. That's where every season we want to see teams progressing and growing and becoming better.
Yeah.
And I like what Stellies are doing. I just hope they're going to keep it going. I'm not expecting Stellies to win the league or something like that. But if it happens, hey, why not?
Yeah.
But I'd love to see them continuing with this fine form they're in. I think with Kaiser Chiefs, it's still the same thing. Many things happen with Kaiser Chiefs, it's in a point of when Kaiser Chiefs wins, everybody forgets about everything else. When Kaiser Chiefs doesn't get good results, we all come back and start pointing finger as to how many defenders does he play, why does he play this position there, and all that type of stuff. So I think for me, it's still players trying to find that rhythm, still trying to find sort things out. And the level of inconsistency at the club, it's amazing to see the players that they have. So hopefully they'll turn that around. And they do have a break after this weekend. They do have a break just to probably with an international break, maybe just sort things out. But defensive issues, I think, are still a problem. So
yeah, I mean, it's not a problem. It's a massive problem. I presume come the January transfer window, there's going to be some serious changes made. And just for listeners out there, you know, me being an agent, I deal with Stellenbosch and Chiefs quite a bit. And the way Stellenbosch recruit their players is quite unique within the PSL, I guess, is that they all, and you're going to love this, they all run on stats. No matter who the player is, they do in-depth statistics, look into the player. It's not about, okay, I'm going to sign a big-name player. There are no real big-name players on there. Like, it's all statistically based, and it's starting to pay off, it is.
Look, bro, I think with where the football world is right now, that's how you're supposed to recruit players, based on stats, based on numbers. It's crazy that whenever in South African football term, we speak of numbers, people get emotional, people start, you know, attacking you.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are something that we hardly speak about. How many players in now that you realize they've been playing so many games, even from last season, you look at the numbers, the numbers don't match up. You can't be taking midfielder playing 60 games with two assists and one goal. It doesn't make sense. And you're still playing. It really doesn't make sense to me. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, I just hope that this, with how Stellies are doing, and teams will go back to doing that and sign quality players that has potential. And with players that has potential, that has numbers to back them up. Because now, and that will also eliminate the fact that we having a foreign players that comes to our country with not so much of a good quality.
Yeah,
that will help us now to have more South African players or more quality footballing players in the PSL, because the numbers match up, because all the teams now are following the same method of recruiting players based on numbers, based on stats. Then the football grows. Also now it's going to come also to the coaches as well, as to the number of experience with what type of coaches you work with, those type of stuff. But that's why you're going to see all these teams growing, because of now, how many years we've been speaking about the same team dominating.
Yeah, and we still are.
Yeah,
I think it's quite a feel-good factor with a team like Stellenbosch. It's very well run. It's obviously in a university. There's talks of building a new stadium as well, which could be pretty cool. But well done, Stellies. I think back to the drawing board for Kaizer Chiefs and Stuart Baxter and his crew. But let's move on to the game of the weekend. Mamelodi Sundowns against Cape Town City. But just before that, did you see Shalolile's goal last night?
Sorry?
Did you see Shalolile's goal last night?
Yeah, I was doing the game.
Oh, man.
I was doing the game. I saw, for me, I don't know. Dude, like, that was one of the most difficult finished. Yeah. But how he did it, it's amazing. You know, the technique, you know, the flight of the ball,
dude,
the confidence, like everything was perfect in that goal. But I know for a fact that it's one of those most difficult goals, because you're running, you're making that run, looking at the ball, also making sure that you don't clash with the goalkeeper, but being able to finish, because it's one of those situations where if it's a goal, it's a beautiful goal. If you don't score, we'll ask yourself, why don't you take two touches?
Yes, exactly. So, but that shows the confidence he's in right now, right? To take it one touch.
Yeah. I mean, look. I think also, you know, to the character that he has, I think for me, it's the character. He, in the first half, he missed a clear goal scoring opportunity. Yes. And to come back in the second half and score a goal like that. For me, Shasha's character is amazing. He plays on the right, he can sacrifice himself. He can be one of those players and say, but I'm a top goal scorer, I'm doing very well, I need to play as a striker.
Absolutely. But,
you know, he can play on the left, he can play on the right, and still contributes the same way that he contributes as a striker. So.
Yeah, I know. And for the listeners out there, he's the first one in a training, last one to leave at Sundowns. And if you notice him on the field, he's probably the only player that tucks in his shirt. So he just shows the professionalism. He exudes confidence. But let's move on to the final anyway, Tex. Not the Sundowns we know, and the inconsistency we've been speaking about. But we go back to last night's game, and it's those 1-0 wins that we talk about at the end of the season, the 3 points, and that's why they're dominating. But back to the final, obviously never won the cup. First time to win the MTN 8. Well deserved. Obviously back to the penalties. Hero the goalkeeper. Do you think Cape Town City, it's just such a weird question, but you think Cape Town City lost that game more than Sundowns won it, if that makes sense?
Sean, to be honest with you, for me, this is just my personal opinion. There's I think it was a game of two halves.
Mm. Which another cliche.
Yeah. Which Sundowns could have won the game in the first half. Mm. While Captain City was still struggling, because Captain City couldn't find solutions as to how to defend Mamelodi Sundowns. Mm. In the first half, they tried, but there were so many errors that they were doing defensively that Mamelodi Sundowns could have punished. Mm. And then something happened in the second half, and then Eric started playing three at the back when he introduced Mashego, and then everything opened up for Cape Town City. And then Sundowns now was struggling now to defend against Cape Town City when Makola was playing. And it's not really, Sean. You know, every time when I was still at Cape Town City, we enjoy playing against Mamelodi Sundowns because we know the type of players that they have, and they know the type of players that we have. It's one of those games where you know that this team hates defending, we're going to make them run. Mm. It's one of those games that team knows that we hate defending, so they're going to make us run. So whoever has the ball is in control. So it was one of those situations where that sub that Eric did in the second half actually changed how Cape Town City played, and they started pinning Mamelodi Sundowns back. And that's how they scored, actually.
So do you think this is the new formation for Cape Town City going forward?
I think with that information, that with that formation, it allows you to have more attacking players on the pitch. Mm. So, but
and
a lot of
Cape Town City play an attacking game, or
an attacking game, yes, it is, yes, you know, but also not only the sub, I think made the changes, but also the personnel that came in.
Sure.
Not every sub came in and made an impact, but you look at Mashego, how he came. You look at Makola. Now Makola came in and started playing those forward passes, which is something that we're struggling with in the first half. So it's one of those situations where Cape Town City just changed, but also the final as well gives you that energy. There's no second chance. You have to go out and win. And Cape Town City game played, and even with that 10 men, you know, the character of the team, you know, still they still wanted to fight. They still kept them going. But it was a good final at all.
Yeah, it was. And interesting that Sundown's goal came from a defensive mistake from Cape Town City. So again, I've always rated Cape Town City. I like Eric Tinkler as a coach. He's quite aggressive. He likes to play forward. But it just shows Mamelodi Sundown's professionalism going into this game last night and how they scrape a 1-0 win. It's still Sundowns are the team to beat without a doubt. But well done to Sundowns, well deserved. And yeah. Are they still unbeaten this season? Is that
great? Yes. Yeah, them and Stellies, they're the only two teams.
Wow, that's crazy. So congrats to them. From there, we move on to pole position. Position is a segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club a certain question and get voice note replies. And this week we asked you, as football leagues around the world have seen a return of fans to stadiums, PSL fans are still missing out on live football matches. What do you miss about watching the beautiful game live, and what would it mean to you to return to the stadiums? And here's what you guys have had to say.
Yeah, hey, South African fans, we are missing going back to stadium. And we are praying that as soon as possible, PSL and South African open gates for us so that we can go back there.
Returning back to stadium, it can be more excited to us as fans, because we've been missing out for some couple of years in Asai Stadium. So what I miss the most about the stadium, it's a Soweto derby. Soweto derby, it was very exciting meeting with fans from different provinces and different countries coming to watch Soweto derby, sing together with fans, taking pics together with fans at stadium, shouting our players where they don't do well, singing for them to score.
Hi, and then if I wanna in the stadium, hi, a patient icon is different than live ATV. ATV, I don't like it, because you must have the passion, most stadium atmosphere. We corner would ubugele into life. Aguna ama amando reverse or check utwins in a slow motion. So fun into life we buge. Then after that you jabule nama supportara nama player long and say miss a could
be very difficult supporting from the coach, you know. When you are sitting at home, it's not the same like being there. What I miss the most about it, if you were when we as a soccer fans become the 12th man, the 12th player during the matches, because I guess the bigger teams have suffered more with the absence of spectators, because during matches when things...
Right, before we return to the voice note replies, one fan actually sent a WhatsApp pin, and this is what he had to say. As a Kaizer Chiefs supporter, it means so much to us as supporters as a whole to go back to the stadiums in our full capacity to motivate, sing to our players. It also motivates our players. It is much better than to watch our team on live TV. It's completely different to watch live matches. It inspires us as supporters in so many ways, and it also inspires our players. I couldn't agree more. We are soccer lovers, and to watch soccer live and our different branches that are coming from different places and provinces, it's amazing because we are one big family and we're always happy to see each other. When our players see us in numbers and football stadiums, it means so much to us, and of course it means a lot to them. We love our team, and I think supporters of our teams feel the same way. It's very well written and very well said. But let's just go back to the voice notes and we'll get back into this.
Difficult. We were always there to pick them up, and then they could then feel our presence.
Wow, hey, we missed the atmosphere, the vibe of the stadium, and most importantly, that X factor that we bring as supporters, especially to Kaizer Chiefs supporters. We all know Kaizer Chiefs with supporters, they can bring their A game at any given time. So that's the most thing we miss about going to the stadium. But we do believe that we will go to the stadium one day.
The thing of going back to the stadium is a tough one, because we can see they've tried with Bafana Bafana game and MTN 8 final game. But seriously, all supporters we need and we want to go back to the stadium, because it's not nice, it's not fair for us. We plead the privilege to open the stadiums. Our boys need us. What we miss the most is the vibe at the stadium and everything. We need that vibe, cheering and singing. We're missing our family, because as supporters, we are not just supporters and fans in the stadium. We tend to be a family.
For me, going back to the stadium, I don't want to lie to you, it will change us my life, because we've been in this football for quite some time. We've been attending games, and now because of we've been sitting for a whole year, 1 year, 6 months, or 1 year, 8 months, something like that. So it's quite painful for us, especially when you saw fans, 2,000 fans at the stadium. You can feel that you feel the pain that you see other fans are there at the stadium. And I think they need to think about it. We want to go back to the stadium, and we're tired to sit at home. I just want to go there and sing for my team. For me, I miss singing for Sundowns. I miss to meet my friends from different teams, from Sundowns fans, you know. So it's quite painful. So I think they need to do something for us. We want to go back to the stadium.
And we are missing the action. Some of us diehard fans, we love live action. The atmosphere at the stadium is much better than watching on TV.
Yeah, in doing ngimisa kakhulu ukubukela ibhola live. Atmosphere stadium and enye into engathanda kakhulu ukubuyela stadium ukuthi sobe sibuyela sobukela into esithandayo singabalandeli bebhola.
So there we have it. That's what you guys had to say about a subject that we've been speaking about for weeks now. A couple of funny ones going in. There's a gentleman that mentioned that he hates not being in the stadiums because he can't shout at the coach. It's a typical PSL reply. But Teko, we've this is probably a good segment into the Soweto Derby, but we've spoken about this week in, week out. There was no glitch, apparently, at the MTN 8 final, even though there were only 2,000 fans. Mm. They're talking about the Saturday or this weekend's big derby, but it let some fans in again. You know, still, I think if you talk about the derby, let's chat about the derby quick, and you talk about 2,000 fans, I think you're still going to have 60,000 fans rock up at the stadium anyway, trying to force their way in. So that has to be managed very, very carefully. Where's your head at in this situation right now? Because we saw a nice little influx into the MTN 8 final. Like I said, everything happened beautifully. We've got a nice game this weekend. Surely we can increase now to 8,000 to 10,000.
Yeah, Sean. Like, look, we had this discussion last week about the numbers and the capacity. And I strongly believe that shouldn't be just the reference as to whether we allow this the fans to come back into the stadium or not.
Yeah.
I think we when we try to bring football back, the first thing that we did was Germany. Dude, are you busy with your mic? What's going on?
Sorry, man. I've just got such big biceps, it keeps unlocking the microphone.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
So when we went back to football, when we tried to come back and finish the league, we realized what Bayern was doing. We started copying what other leagues were doing. We had a bio bubble. Mm. Then we made sure that we finished the league. So now, why don't we go back again and copy what other leagues are doing? Now we have the EPL that had the bubble that are now allowing fans back into the stadium. Now we do have Germany that are allowing all the fans to come back into the stadium.
Mm.
So why don't we go back to those? Because we busy with coming and saying we do have a certain number of people that are vaccinated. We do have a certain number of people that don't have COVID symptoms or tested negative of COVID situation, right? And we do it. We had elections just this past week. We had rallies before that. There were over 2,000, over 5,000.
Sure.
Now we have a football game that is changing so many lives. And now people, there's a lot of depression. There's a lot of emotional baggage is ready right now that are happening within the country. And sometimes football helps us in a way to deal with those type of situations.
Of course.
So now we're having a derby, one of the biggest games. This is a game where nobody cares about who's on form and whatnot.
Sure.
People want to come and actually enjoy this game and have fun in this game. Are you going to give us 2,000 again?
Yeah, I mean, let's remember those numbers. The 2,000 included both teams, the working media, club officials with the right required accreditation, and sponsors also use their discretion in terms of who they want to get tickets. So probably there was only about 1,100, I would imagine, or 1,200 fans.
Yeah, I think, but still, let me be honest with you. It was very nice to see those few supporters at the stadium.
Mm.
Okay, Sundowns brought many, but after Sundowns won, they were dancing, doing that routine of theirs with the fans. It was also nice because it's been a while since we've seen fans back into the game. And I think if there's a way that we can follow, I think let's look at the capacity, let's look at the teams that are playing, and with the capacity also, I think that will guide us as to how many people need to come to the stadium, because you can see them accordingly.
Yes.
Because for me, it doesn't make sense to go to FNB Stadium where Justin Bieber was having a concert today. And all that type of stuff. And then we're saying, guys, give us 2,000 fans for a big derby. So what? For me, it doesn't really make sense. Because even if you give me 2,000 fans that you're saying you're fully vaccinated, but you're allowing gatherings that has nothing to do with vaccination, but people still gather.
Yeah.
So for me, is if you don't have to use vaccination as a tool for people not to come to the stadium. Just find ways on how to allocate them. Because still...
Correct.
Guys, vaccination is still an opinion. Whether you want to vaccinate or not, that's within your right.
Yeah.
But don't deny me my passion of watching the game just because your regulation, but you can put me accordingly. I'm still using public transport. I'm still going to the restaurant.
Yeah.
There's clubs that are open. I'm still going to the clubs. You're not allowing me to come to the stadium where... In fact, it's outside. There's enough ventilation. There's enough space. There's enough distance. Sean.
It makes... absolutely no sense. And this is not just the biggest game in South Africa, not just one of the biggest games in Africa. This is one of the biggest derbies in the world. Like Google is definitely top six or top seven games in the world. So it's pretty sad, I think. I think both of you can both agree on that.
But it tells you, Sean, where our priorities are. You know, I remember back then when sport used to unite us. Not anymore.
Mm.
Not anymore. We don't find... I'm not saying... For the fact that, for me, if we're still on level something, level 3, whatever the case might be, we're still, you know, on... There's a lot of regulations happening. I would understand. But now you have gatherings. Dude, I've been driving around. I've seen so many gatherings. That makes me so sad that I feel like I understand people are frustrated. I understand people want to be out there. But you can give us 40,000 or 90,000 capacity. I know that teams need to spend on security, on regulation. But guys, we've been spending on vaccinations. we've been spending for this thing to end, for this thing to change, we're gonna spend. So put your hand in the pocket.
Yeah, it's sad. Fingers crossed, let's get sorted post Christmas, and we can get some fans into the stadium. Yeah, man. Well, from there we move on to the international news desk. Usually we are joined by our international news correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. He is sick in the head at home, unfortunately. Take off, I don't know if you've been watching any of the Champions League. I just want to touch on a couple of interesting games. Again, Man United with a crucial 2-2 away draw to Atalanta. And again, Ronaldo to the rescue in the last minute. People are calling for Ole's head. And again, this is going to run into the other segment we're going to talk about Conte's appointment as a Tottenham head coach. Do you think, well, number one, are you happy the way United's performing? What needs to change? Do you think Ole needs to leave? And number two, which sort of leads into the next question, do you think United have missed out on an opportunity in terms of appointing a coach like Conte who is available?
I think that opportunity was on purpose. I don't think Conte is their ideal coach, to be honest. I don't think they're looking to get Conte on their books. I don't think it was their highest priority or number one priority, because if that was the case, they wouldn't have delayed so much, you know.
Sure.
And to be honest with you, I'm not gonna say Ole lost the dressing room, because I never thought he actually was in charge of that in the first place.
Right.
So for me, I always see Man U as a team that has so many quality players, but there's a lot of unhappiness within the team. A lot of players that have so much potential and happy in the team.
Yes.
So therefore, what's happening? So which means if that's the case, it's either there is a bias, people are playing even though they're not supposed to, or the system doesn't suit the players, or the players that didn't suit the system. Because I remember there's a boy that comes from Ajax. I don't know his name. He was a Ballon d'Or nominee. He comes to Man U. He's struggling to play, and then you're playing Jesse Lingard.
Yes.
And then you have Sancho, who last season when you got to the Euros, he was one of the, in England, he was better with stats than anybody that was playing in the England team.
Stats.
He had more assists, more goals, more involvement in so many goals, but he was struggling to play in the England squad, and coming back to Man U, he's still struggling to play. He's still, this is Sancho that we don't want to see, and I'm sure he's frustrated. I'm sure it hurts to be like that, but you still have your Cavalli as well that was struggling to play. Then Ronaldo comes and he played. Like, dude, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of unhappiness there. And with that, I think you need a manager that has a strong character and that can actually make sure that all the superstars work together and help the team, because I don't see them clicking. No matter what happens, Ronaldo can score 6 goals, but they're gonna concede 7.
Yeah, so in essence, Solskjaer not the right manager.
No.
Who would you suggest, in your expert opinion, is potentially the right man for the job?
Dude, I would like for Man U to go for somebody a little bit younger. Somebody that is very technically gifted, or a very tactician rather. I think they should go for somebody, because now your Contes are coaches that things don't go well in 6 months, they resign, you pay them out. These are coaches that he's very good, but he's not a coach that you can bank on him, because he travels a lot. You see how he left Milan as well. So for me, I'll go for a younger coach that will actually allow all these younger players to relate, all these younger players to play this modern football. Because to be honest with you, if Man U are relying on Ronaldo, then they're shitty.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe a Rulani Mokoena to Man United.
Come on. Yeah. Maybe, bro.
You never know, bro.
Yeah.
You never know. Couple of results. Real Madrid 2-1 winners over Donetsk. Barcelona, a very good 1-0 away win, even though they should have won by 4-5. Ajax 3-1 against Dortmund away, and Liverpool on form 2-0 at home to Atletico Madrid. And our team, my boy Man City, 4-1 winners over Club Rouge. They are looking very, very strong indeed, that's for sure. Let's move on swiftly, Tex. Let's talk about Rulani Mokoena. Talks about him potentially And again, this is just talks about, let's just have a read of what it said in Soccer Laduma. According to reliable sources, Simba SC in Tanzania are believed to be preparing a bid for the ex-Orlando Pirates and Sheffield United mentor in search of a replacement for Didier Gomez, who resigned from his post last month. It's not the first time Mokwena, who is 35, has been courted by a team outside the Premier Soccer League, with Soccer Laduma having exclusively reported back in March about why that Casablanca to hold talks with the Downs coach. Steve Kapilonishtik, Rulani Mokwena's agent, has played down, hasn't played down. He says there's obviously been talk about it. He says, I will be honest, in the last 6 months or so, there have been inquiries about Rulani, both locally and outside of the country. I'm not too sure who locally and who could afford him. That's a weird one. The truth is that he remains committed to Sundowns, which I do believe. Teko, do you see Rulani leaving a team like Sundowns that technically is good enough to win the Champions League? We see Rulani now being sort of the front man speaking on the TV now, but, I mean, because it's been all over the place lately. Cameras always have been on him as, wouldn't say the number one coach, but certainly the coach that's leading the tactics around starting 11. Do you think Rulani would look at leaving this post at 35, or do you think he's still got a bit to learn at 35 and hopefully show a bit more commitment, maybe another 2-3 years at a team like Sundowns and win trophies?
Look, I think first, what's more important is understanding what your ambitions are as a coach. And I think Rulani's ambitions is to win trophies, to play in the Champions League space, Club World Cup space. That's where you want to see yourself. That's how you grow. That's how you make friends, connect. And as a coach, that is as ambitious as Rulani. That's where, you know, the space is. And also, if I'm an agent, if I'm Rulani's agent, and there's a Simba FC comes in and inquire about Rulani, I wouldn't be excited.
Sure.
It's not an exciting news. It's just news.
Yeah.
You know, and exciting news is Club Brugge or
yes,
something, you know, out. It's either in one of the best leagues in the continent or out of or outside the continent in Europe somewhere. Those are exciting news, because that's where growth comes in. That's progress. You know, and for me to even entertain such, for me it's just a disrespect to Mamelodi Sundowns.
It's going sideways, or he's probably even going backwards.
It's not even sideways, yeah. Bro. It's you playing at AstroTurf with no shoes. It's fucking insane. Like, why would you? Why it just, for me, doesn't make sense. With Sundowns, you're playing Champions League every week. You're playing in the very competitive league. Which is the PSL, you have opportunities to do so much, and then you come in and entertain Simba. But for me, is for the fact that, you know, like you said earlier on, it's bizarre to even I know that there is another interest in South Africa for Rulani Mokwena. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, what I like is for the fact that Rulani is on the radar. Rulani is in conversations. It's great. That shows also, and for him to be able to be out there to speak to the cameras, to speak about the team, that shows leadership and maturity. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the coach Mangoba is not a coach. Steve Kompella is not a coach. But you need to understand as well that the maturity that's within the team, that people are willing to sit down and allow things to happen. Not because they're stupid or they're fools, but they know that this thing is happening because of the greater interest of the team. Because now, I understand that when you're watching Mamelodi Sundowns, everybody wants to be, or people wants to know, but who is the coach? We all know who the coach is. Why are we still asking the same question 2 seasons in? They just want to create, because it's something that is new. When it's new, you want to dismiss it. You want to create divisions in between. You want to create something that will make sense to you, because your favorite team has got 18 coaches that 4 of them are still on the stands. You still lose.
Yeah.
So for me, is the Rulani, whether Rulani speaks or Manqoba speaks, so it doesn't really make a difference. The thing is, we know who the coach is. It was mentioned who the coach is. If Rulani speaks, he still represents the same representation as the other coaches. So it doesn't, Steve Compella can speak for the next 3 weeks. Is he the head coach? It really doesn't matter. For me, yeah, is Mamelodi Sundowns should be judged on what they do on the pitch as to, and forget about who's calling the shots.
So let me change the question a little bit. In your honest opinion, has Rulani done enough to warrant, for example, a job in Europe?
Rulani, I think he's doing well to be in conversations with other people.
Yes.
He's doing very well to be spoken about in corridors. But yes, he still needs to do more at Sundowns. There's a lot more, especially with how, not necessarily how young he is, but how valuable he is within the Mamelodi Sundowns structure. He's a very important member. So is other coaches as well. So there's a lot that needs to be achieved. And as a club, as everybody knows, it's never Sundowns, you know, for Tate to block people when they want to leave. But I think it's still important and he knows that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Righty, from there we move to this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
On the 6th of November 1986, Man United appointed Alex Ferguson as their new manager, replacing the recently sacked Ron Atkinson. Fergie spent an incredible 27 years with the Red Devils, winning 38 trophies, including 13 Premier Leagues, 5 FA Cups and 2 UEFA Champions Leagues, making him the most successful manager in history of British football and arguably the greatest manager of all time. On the 11th of November 1983, Bayern Munich and Germany captain Philipp Lahm was born in Munich. Lahm spent the entire of his career playing for Bayern Munich, making his first team debut in 2002. And by 2011, he was named captain. Lahm made 332 appearances for the German Giants and represented Germany 113 times. An interesting fact about Lahm, he never received a red card in his entire career. How crazy is that?
Yeah,
that is insane. It's absolutely insane. So,
have you received a red card in your career?
I have.
How many?
Just the one. Or was it two?
Yeah.
Could have. Yeah, I got one in when I was playing in Asia, and I got one when I was at Ajax. And yourself?
No, I got one. Second yellow card in 9 minutes. My first is in Super Sport. That was it. I've never got a red card anywhere else.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it deserved? Was it one of the better decisions a PSL ever made?
No. I never got a yellow card to kick somebody. It was probably maybe I was diving or something. I was trying to buy time. Yeah, I got fined for, Coach Pizzo fined me for that. You know, getting a red card in 2 minutes to go.
Oh,
and we had an important game a week after, so I got fined.
Yeah.
But that was my last red card. I never ever had a red card.
You learned from the mistakes.
No. I realized that actually I'm wasting time by kicking people because they're the ones who wants to kick me.
I just couldn't catch you,
bro. So I was like, what am I doing? Why am I defending them? Because they brought into the game to mark me. So I'm not going to kick them. So my mindset started changing from there. So I never went into the game to try and defend against somebody. I always believe that whoever that is playing against me, he needs to defend me.
Well, I suppose your game improved dramatically.
Yeah, of course, it has to improve. So I have to force your hand to defend. Even if you're good in attacking, I have to force your hand to defend. So it was one of those things. So that's how I challenged myself, actually.
Head coach for Bofana, take on Medise. That's what I'm talking about. Righty, a couple of cracker games coming up this weekend. So we are going to place your bets. Take all the big game, Chiefs versus Pirates.
Sean, I pray to football gods. Can it not be a 1-1 draw or a 0-0 draw? Amen.
But it's going to be, right?
Jesus, man.
It's going to be. So I'm going for a droopy 1-1 draw.
Yeah, me. Same here, bro.
AmaZulu versus Cape Town City. I think Cape Town City are away from home. Cape Town City are playing quite well. AmaZulu have found a little bit of form, and AmaZulu are very difficult to beat at home. How do you see this one going?
Look, I think there's a difficult passion at AmaZulu that they're going through But also, I think there's a, you know, there's a clash between Cape Town City and Amazulu because of the coaches. But anyway, it'll be for me. It's always interesting to see Benny against Tikla because of the history that they have. But I'll give this to Amazulu. I'll give this game to Amazulu just because, you know, I think there's a lot of exhaustion from Cape Town City. There's a lot of emotion that they're still dealing with. And they don't have enough depth to actually continue while other players are still emotionally drained. But I might be wrong. But it's one of those situations, yeah. I'm okay to be wrong.
Yeah, well, you usually are, so you're probably used to it by now. So you've got I'm going for an entertaining two-all draw. I'm on the fence here. I think it's going to be firecrackers. I think Eric and Benny are going to have a go at each other. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Let's move into the English Premier League. We've got West Ham versus Liverpool. Got to be a Liverpool win, right?
West Ham versus Liverpool. It's a Liverpool. We like Liverpool. Causing problems.
They're playing some good football, right? And then the biggest game, one of the biggest games in the world again, the Manchester Derby. Come on, the Blues. What are you saying, Ted? Gotta be.
Look, it's always the Blues, but I think this is the game that maybe Ollie might be set. I think this is the game that Pep Guardiola will be the one that is actually opening the door for Ollie to leave Man U.
Wow. Yeah.
Mark my words. And please remind me next week of what I'm saying right now. Because I'm saying this. Aiden, I hope you're listening. I said this is the game that has a potential. That potential that die only will be allowed to leave.
Wow.
Because I promise you, because now you're playing. Look, I don't think whenever this season Manchester United, whenever it's playing against so-called challenging club, they don't play well. They don't play well. So now it's when you're playing against Manchester City, you must understand that there's certain things that need to be in place. You can't just play Manchester City with emotions that you need to cross the board and Ronaldo will score. No. You need to have a proper plan. And we all know how Ole line up his players, how the system that he has. So come on, my brother. So mark my words. So on Monday, there will be a statement coming out from Man U.
Okay, so you're saying a Man City win, so am I. And the repercussions of a Man City win is that Ole's gone.
No, because it's going to stand. It's one of those big statements.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 4 something. You know, 4x4, yeah, the 4. 4x5.
Speaking of 4x4s, we move on to the car of the week.
Transition, man.
Thank you. I'm here all day. This week, we're speaking about the brand new Land Rover Defender 90 D300. A Land Rover Defender is a bit like Marmite, in my opinion, either you love it or hate it. In the old Defender, safety was making sure you applied sunblock. In the new Defender, you can be assured it meets all the modern safety standards set out by the powers that be, and the Defender presents a 5-star Euro NCAP rating with scores of 85% for both adult and child occupants. This engine is mated to a 8-speed automatic gearbox with excellent programming, smooth linear responses to throttle inputs, made traversing uneven terrain an absolute breeze. Comfort is where the Defender shines, while previous generations let you know what sort of surface you're riding on. The monocoque chassis design does a wonderful job of isolating you from the terrain underneath. While it may sound like the perfect solution for the outdoor individual, the Defender does not come cheap. From 1.2 mil all the way up to 2.5 mil with the bells and whistles, I give it an 8.5 out of 10. It is an absolute beauty of a car. Teko, we need some motivation if we can get there, buddy. Do you have a motivational quote of the week for us?
Yes, sir, I do have, and it comes from Phyllis.
Tariq?
Those who know him, yeah, Tariq Phyllis from Cape Town City. I think one of the best center backs on the ball. I think he's so comfortable, it's crazy.
Even though it was his mistake that cost the goal.
Look, bruh. you can't go to school without paying school fees.
100%. Great player and a very, very cool guy.
He's a dope guy. So he said, it's how you get up and bounce back. Fighters never quit, nor do they stay down. And I think this was said after they won yesterday, because after they lost over the weekend, they had a tough game yesterday. And it's that bounce back. I think champions are always, you know, remembered as to, you know, not how many times they fall, but how many times they rise. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, keeping that spirit within the team. And it was sad because Shona was there at the stadium, bro. It was sad. It was very sad to see Cape Town sitting that way. It was very, very painful. And to see them yesterday getting a victory, I think that'll lift the spirits up. So this is what I liked about that.
I agree. Well, then, Tariq, and like you say, the boys might be a bit tired this weekend, but let's see how that game goes against AmaZulu. But in effect, guys, that is how we wrap up episode 93 of The Car Wash. Whether you have been listening on SL Podcast at Cielo Today, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or again, our good friends on Mike King 96.7 Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Mr. Sean Roberts, and of course, the genius himself, Mr. Teko Madise. We will see you same time, same place next week in Nkosi Kakhulu.
Sharp.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL Podcast. Sizohlangana khona.